Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, this episode is special because it will be our very first episode of 2021. I've heard from people, random people, various people, that 2020 has been a bad year. Maybe 2021 will be better, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to predict what we feel like 2021 will be like. But baby, you sound a little glum this morning. Are you glum or just tired? Where are you at emotionally?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you, baby.
Well, I'm not baby, so yeah, he's talking to you.
No, you're special too.
I'm good. I'm just a little tired, but I'm good. My spirits are up.
I'm good.
Feeling optimistic. But yeah, just a little bad night's sleep last night, and which is what happens when you get old and it's hard to sleep.
And dude, are you getting like the, not to do a whole bunch of old man content here in the front of the show, but are you getting like the 3 to 4:30 a.m. wake up just randomly?
Oh, yeah. Well, so what happens is I get in these patterns, right, where I'll wake up every night at like 3, and then I can't get back to sleep for like an hour, or sometimes that's it. I'm done for the night. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I get into like patterns like that, and then I have to like, dude, you just have to like try, like you got to break out of that. Because it's like your body's like telling you to wake up every morning. It just pops you up, right?
Yeah.
And so I never know how to break out of it other than I have like 5 of those in a row and I'm so exhausted that I finally just sleep through the night. And then I
Yeah, totally. Or sometimes
Do you take any sleep supplements?
There you go. Every once in a while I do, you know, because if it gets really bad, it's like, man, I have to sleep tonight because it's really affecting me. And sometimes those work and then sometimes they just don't. They don't seem to work. So I don't know.
It's a huge bummer when they don't work.
Yeah, totally, because your
expectations are so high.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like having a good meal that doesn't taste quite as good as you thought it was going to. You're just like, oh my gosh, man. Like, I need this right now. Yeah.
You realize that you're opening yourself up to listeners sending us all the tweets and emails about, like, whatever witch roots their grandmothers told them to use, which essential oils to use. You know,
I hope they do. Actually, I'm kind of into that stuff. Like in the sleep space, at least, I would be open to suggestions. But
Witch doctoring is good for sleeping, just not for anything else.
Exactly.
Gotcha,
dude. We went to a friend's house the other night, and this friend will hear this because she's a huge fan of the show. I opened her refrigerator door, and it was like entirely. You know how the refrigerator doors have like 3 like layers of shelving in the door part. Like slammed with essential oils.
Oh man.
Yeah, dude, it sounded like like one of those old milk trucks from like an 1800s movie with the glass rattling all over the place when I opened the door.
It's like basically you're opening a door to like a witch's coven is what.
Oh, like a witch's coven. I'm like, "Hey, does anybody have any essential oils around here?" Oh.
And then out popped the Wicked Witch of the West and said, "Yeah, I got one right here for you. Look, my face is green."
Yeah, dude, solid essential oils.
They're all made out of poppies.
Yeah. Dude, I've got a question for you guys because I had an experience last night and something you said, baby, reminded me of it. I had a bad meal out at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's been so long since I've had a bad meal, like of any kind, because I live with KK. My wife she's a professional chef and she just cooks amazing meals. And when we go out to restaurants, our track record is pretty good of getting good meals. And I got a bad one and I was like,
well, hold on. Explain why it was bad. What was it?
Okay. So there was this place in Jackson called Asia Garden, and no free shout outs, but I'm sure the Asia Garden staff isn't listening, but, it used to be great. And I used to know the owner and he was really passionate about food. He was a great guy, Jackson guy. And we used to go there all the time. And,
Did we go there for lunch when I came over and did that podcasting class with you like 3 years ago?
Dude, we may have.
Is it like in a strip mall?
Yeah, it was in a strip mall. Okay. They've changed.
And you said
locations.
It was one of your staple favorites.
Yeah, just like a go-to kind of easy lunch place. And KK and I were kind of feeling Chinese last night, so I took her there, and it was terrible. And I think they've changed ownership because I didn't see my guy around anywhere, and it was really, really bad, and I had a really weird emotional reaction to it. Like, I felt really affronted that I had had a bad meal
which means that I think I'm really spoiled. And I don't know if that makes me a horrible person or not. I'm trying to figure out the calculus on the having a bad meal response. Like, because I didn't just shrug it off. Like, I wasn't cool about it.
You mean you voiced your discontentment?
No, like staff? Not to the waiter. Like, I'm always really nice to the waiters, and like, I can't be that guy. I can't be like an a-hole.
Well, yeah, that's what I was
in the moment. Now. But I was very much an a-hole, like, about it conversationally and like in the car afterward. And in the cold, like harsh light of morning, I'm like, huh, not a great moment for me. What's going on there? You know? And I think
it sounds like it was something, it was like the thing behind the thing. Like it was really something else in the meal.
Yeah, what was it, baby? Put on your like counseling hat and like work me through this.
Well, I don't know, because it's like everything, it always comes back down to, you know, expectations. And so you went there expecting something, you received something different, but it cost you something at the same time.
Yeah.
So it may have triggered something else far more important than a bad meal, because we all get a bad meal on occasion. And and so it almost like that was the easiest way for you to express that anger, you know?
Yeah, that feeling of being robbed.
Yeah, you
know, not to be overly dramatic about it.
No, for sure. But still, yeah. it was the occasion to just let out your deeper frustrations, I guess.
Robbed of an experience. Yeah. You know, 2020's been tough on everybody, guys. Dude, I went with like the thing that I always order there, like Kung Pao chicken. I like it a little spicy. And in the past, like when my old guy was owning the place, it was always like really fresh, and it was, you know, the plate was really colorful and they did a really good job with it. But yeah, dude, this was like, and not to go too deep into the weeds of bad Chinese food, but the plate, like the whole thing was just kind of gray and pallid, and the rice wasn't flavorful. I mean, there was nothing about it that was depressing. You know what I mean? And I sound like, so
you know what's crazy about that, man?
Baby?
It's so weird, man, because we have some Asian places near us that we don't go too frequently, but I would say that, you know, one of them is like Aces, man. It's like really good. But I would say that compared with other places we go to, I get the most inconsistency out of that. Like I'll get one dish one week where I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life. I'll get the same dish the next month and it doesn't even resemble.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So we don't do a lot of Asian cuisine at the house.
Sure.
You know, Big M doesn't really specialize in that necessarily, like she does in other things.
Sure.
And so I don't have a lot of experience with it. But, man, when it's great, it's great. And when it's not great, it's not great.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny with Chinese food, because it's sort of the one genre of food where there's no hipster paradigm for it. You know what I mean? Like there's no hipster Chinese place where you can go pay $74 for an egg roll or whatever. Maybe there are in Nashville though. Pipe, or is there a?
Yeah, there are. They're hipster.
Is there a hipsterification of those Chinese food?
Those always turn into like Asian fusion places where you can do that with like a side of escargot or something like that. And it, right. You know, so no, not like, every good Asian restaurant I've ever been in is exactly what you would picture, either in terms of the sit down experience or the takeout experience. And none of the like bougie Chinese places. And when they try to do that, it turns into like a P.F. Chang's, which is, it's like Chinese food plus salt.
Yeah, dude. I was kind of a P.F. Chang's guy back in the day, though. Back when that thing first popped,
it's like the fast food of China. I mean, like P.F. Chang's is, it's just a better Panda, you know, to where it's like, I'm just going to indulge in it.
Yeah, dude, it's like mall Chinese, but leveled up, you know.
It's a fancier name for mall Chinese.
Dude, mall Chinese in and of itself is a thing. Where are you guys?
It's like getting a Big Mac every once in a while. It's like, dude, totally. I like it, man.
It just feels good. Yeah, it reminds you of being at the mall, of like going into you know, Music Land and buying a record or whatever and getting a little mall Chinese.
You have to set it aside from anything that's, you know, remotely authentic. Like this is its own genre.
It's its own thing. Yeah.
And it's in like a little bit of that orange chicken in the styrofoam container.
So delicious. Totally. I mean, literally, I want some right now. It's early. I still want it. I mean, there's a new Panda that went up by us. And every time I pass it, cause I try not to eat that stuff, I'm like, gosh, man, I just want that orange chicken and some rice right now. And it's
you
like,
know what I'll say about Panda and Mall Chinese, it is consistent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know what you're getting. There's not the guesswork.
It's like McDonald's.
Exactly.
That quarter pounder, man, it has remarkable continuity.
Here's what's kind of crazy, though, about Panda is that they're starting to pop up, like, not in malls. You know what I mean? Like here in the area, we've got like a standalone Panda.
That's what we got. We got a standalone,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, dude.
And it's all like super like modern. Like the outside of it looks all fresh too, because it's
all mod. It's all
their new architecture is all like over the top. And I'm like, oh wow, Panda went all mid century modern on us. You know,
dude,
like,
right? Looks Panda's insane. Going all Mad Men.
How long until there's like freestanding Orange Julius's everywhere? Just to like so they're bringing the mall to us.
Yeah, they are bringing the mall,
dude. That's kind of what they're doing. I mean, they've done away with the mall.
Well, because indoor malls like across the country are shutting down like crazy. And outdoor malls really are like the new thing, even in climates like where I live, where there's snow half the year. Yeah. But it's like, so it is kind of fascinating in the sense that, yeah. And then these little strip malls are becoming a little more hipsterized. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're getting like the pop-up like Pandas and all that kind of stuff.
Totally. Man, I love the outdoor mall because you lose the... first of all, I was never an indoor mall guy, but there is a sense of like childhood nostalgia about them.
Totally.
But you walk through and like you're supposed to smell certain things.
Yes.
You know, you've got the Cinnabon smell in like one third of the
popcorn.
Mall. But you don't get that outdoor because it's ventilated, you know, and then you're supposed to walk by and like choke to death outside the Abercrombie store and that third of the mall. And then anytime you go by a department store, you hit by like a wall of all the fragrances.
Or just like that weird, like upholstery plastic smell that it's really hard to even describe. Yeah. But Pipe, there's so much joy in my heart right now that you're just old enough to where you are able to have nostalgic indoor mall feelings.
Yeah, that's big. That's really big. Baby, you and I have done the indoor mall thing. A lot. We used to do it a lot in Fort Wayne. There was a classic, just a killer, like, two-level indoor mall.
Like almost dead, practically dead.
Oh, practically dead. Yeah. That's the sweet spot, though. Remember
malls were a thing all the way up through my high school years because there wasn't any internet shopping up until, you know, whatever, like 2005, 2007. I graduated from high school 2001. And so, like, we would go to malls and stuff. I never enjoyed shopping. And so hanging out at a mall got boring fast for me. Because I didn't want to go wander around stores, and I just got bored doing nothing. So, but the place itself is kind of a time capsule for sure.
Absolutely, it's a more so you know not to get all I don't know Brett McCracken TGC about this, but like it does harken back to a time when life and certain experiences were a little bit more communal, and 2020 kind of. I mean, that all that stuff was already dying anyway, right? Like, we were getting more, more like Postmatesy about life. Like, just getting meal boxes delivered or getting, you know, groceries delivered to your car so you don't have to go in or whatever. Like, we had been on this trajectory of never seeing other people already. But, like, you know, having gone through the 2020 experience of... people are the worst. Everybody's scary. Be leery of everyone. Like, I can't imagine any indoor mall scenario surviving that. You know what I mean? Like, the idea of walking through a corridor in an indoor mall, being close to the general public, whom we've been trained for the last 9 months to be, like, terrified of. I can't imagine that experience ever coming back. You know what I mean?
Might it bounce back even stronger though? Because
I hope,
because you know, these things tend to reverse themselves. So like there's this panic about being near anybody, but after a while people are like, but now we should panic about being alone. And so there will be like at some point a mad rush towards these public things potentially. Now, maybe not, maybe that's not how human behavior works, but I was even thinking when you were talking about the postmatesification of everything. Even those grocery services, you know, where you can order, you know, whatever, like Blue Apron or something. Again, we're not getting paid for this, especially because I'm about to dog on them. They only send you enough food for the number of people in your household. So, like, if that's your way of doing meals, you can't ever cook for a friend. You can't cook for a guest. It's only like, nope, this is for four people because that's how many people live there. And Anybody else is bringing their own food.
Exactly. Yeah, it's weird, dude. It's a really strange deal. And I hope it comes back. But I don't know. I have my doubts. Baby, indoor mall. Are we ever going to be strolling through an indoor mall again?
Well, the thing is, so I read this big article on indoor malls not that long ago because I'm sort of fascinated. And I love some of those sites like deadmalls.com where they, you know, the guys do the tours of the malls that have been abandoned and all that stuff. And there's like, I don't know.
You it's just
like
weep silently while reading.
I do. I weep silently, but I can almost, like, as I'm sort of smelling the panda and the upholstery, smelling the plastic. Yeah. But it's really fascinating because there's literally hundreds of these malls that are shutting down. They're abandoned. They're trying to sell these things because they're like major properties. And some people are coming in. They're saying, hey, we can do something different with this. But it like the trend is that whether we love them or not, it's from a bygone era now. I mean, these things popped up big in the 70s and 80s. And again, it was Reagan years. It was a different frame of mind. And again, we can get into the psychology behind it, but yeah, so you take an outdoor mall, so when we moved to Ohio, I was fascinated because they have one of the biggest outdoor mall complexes I've ever seen about, 45 minutes from us. And it's fascinating because it's like, I'm thinking, dude, like who's coming to this thing in like January, February, and March? And the fact is that everybody's coming to this thing. January, February, and March. You know, it's freezing out. It's 9 degrees. You go to these things and everybody's bundled up, man. And they're just walking through these things and they're designed in such a different way, than like we remember sort of like the idea that like, man, you go to an indoor mall and you have like, there's no space in a mall, technically speaking. You just have store after store after store. Right. And in an outdoor mall, I mean, they've designed it like so differently. You know what I mean? Like it's something that you could spend your entire day at. Whereas a mall, you're kind of there. You're a little more purpose driven, you know, not to get all Ricky Dub on you right now, but you're a little more purpose driven in terms of like, you go there for a reason. You might enjoy it, but like you're on a mission. Whereas like an outdoor mall is more of an experience, I think.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the theme of our age anyway, is experience. And so it's kind of fascinating.
And that's why I don't think the indoor mall is going to come. Well, two reasons. One, people's buying habits, like most of the stores in there, maybe clothing stores still do better in person, but nobody's buying electronics in person the same way they did before. Department stores by and large are really struggling. It's like Amazon and, is sort of
the... Yeah, Piper, Amazon is the new indoor mall.
Yeah, Amazon is the
mall.
Gosh,
that's depressing, dude.
Yes, it is. You know, not to dog on our good friend Jeff and his business model, but...
No, Jeff's
great. A great guy.
Lovely man.
Unbelievable guy. But like the problem with Amazon is like... Your daughter can't get her ears pierced there. You can't run into like your favorite chick from high school there. Like none of the magical other stuff that came with the shopping can happen at a, on a website.
Yeah. There's no place for all the goth kids to hang out over in the corner next
to Hot Topic.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. We lack a lot.
Yeah, I know. As magical as Amazon is. And the rhetoric of like 2020 is so confusing. You know, all the soft focus commercials are like, we need to come together in this tough time, and we'll come together by literally not seeing another human being for 9 months, which will drive you to the edge of despair. Baby, you mentioned something when you were talking about the mall, the purpose-driven mall, and it made me think of a thought experiment that we had once with another word, which was parkour. But if you take classic Christian books and replace one word with the word mall, like it really works. I've been doing it for the last couple minutes.
Don't waste your
dude,
mall.
Explain some of the parkour stuff that we died.
Okay, dude. Ago. Okay, I will. Because this is a funny, like, this
it's
is
so
funny.
Ridiculous. So stupid.
Yeah, this is a funny, like, early you and me story. So I had come to visit you in Ashland, and I don't know if it was because of grad school or just we were working on something
together.
Yeah, so it was like my first trip to Ashland, and you had this friend who, had maybe like read some of my books or something, and you're like, oh, you got to meet this guy. So we go out to his house. And I think we got like a ride in his car. That was a part of the activities because he had a unique car of some kind. And we ended up in his basement, and there's a certain, okay, I want to go like 30 seconds on this. There's a certain age that you are as like a young adult where somebody comes to your house and you give them like the tour of your house. You know what I mean? Which we're all past that age now. Like we no longer do this. Nobody in like our age genre does this, but like, I don't know, from like 25 to 33, when some people come over to your house, you just like show them around. Am I right about this, Ron? Like, is that resonating?
I think I'm far less interested in that than I used to be.
Actually. Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm completely not interested in that anymore.
Well, I mean, frankly, I was never interested in it, but I know people who did that kind of thing.
Right. Nobody that I know is interested in it anymore. But like, anyway, so we ended up getting like a tour of this guy's house, and we ended up down in the basement where, again, this is a certain character type of dude. The giant like theatrical screening room, like the huge wall of screen with a couple of recliners, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, this is where I watch my movies, you know, this is where I play my video games. And I'm thinking like my TV screen is like a postage stamp compared to this, but you know, continue. So this guy fires up a video game and it's like video game parkour. And you and I, Ron, are just sitting in these recliners watching this guy play like video game parkour,
which is another thing of guys that think there's nothing more fun than for their friends to watch them play video games,
which was a fun thing at an arcade in a mall. Am I right? Like,
yeah, and when the game was Tron or Pac-Man, correct?
The game's Tron. It lasts 6 minutes and then it's over.
Well, you know? to be fair to this gentleman, A half a generation behind you guys, that was also fun in somebody's basement, but it was like a rotating cast. So if there was like eight guys and two controllers, it was basically like playing one-on-one and then, you know, winner stays in kind of thing in whatever game you're playing. If you have four controllers, you can play GoldenEye or whatever. So like that was a basement thing too, but it was still a large communal activity with multiple players.
Yeah. And so Ron and I were just spectators in this moment. And I remember driving home with you, baby. When it was just you and me, and we were like, parkour, what a funny word parkour is, you know? Like, we were both kind of enamored with the word and just the way it sounded, like, coming out.
Because it's so ridiculous, and dudes that do, I mean, a little backdrop is, like, people that were doing parkour, and this was a decade ago, so
yeah,
it was kind of parkour was becoming this thing, and it was kind of ridiculous, and there's vids popping up on, I mean, there still is, but videos popping up on YouTube of dudes just like jumping on like, you know, air conditioning units on top of buildings. And it's like, and they take it so, what's funny about it is how serious they all take it. And so that struck us so funny.
Yeah. They're not like, oh, it's kind of funny. It's kind of haha that I jumped.
Yeah. And the guy that was playing the parkour video, what was funny about it was he was taking him playing the parkour video as serious as the dudes that actually did real parkour.
Like, we were supposed to be like, yeah, sweet move there. Like, nice,
yeah, right,
nice
exactly.
You know?
It was amazing. It was amazing.
So, anyway, we're driving home, and we just started replacing names in famous Christian book titles with parkour. And it really worked. It really was funny. It gave us, like, a great 8 minutes of content just for our lives. And I hadn't thought about it in like 12 years until now, where I think you could do the same thing with malls, is all I'm saying. Or the word mall. Where are you guys at on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's just rattle a few off. So we've got, you know, we've got like The Reason for Mall by Tim Keller.
Yeah, absolutely. Desiring Mall by Jeff Piper.
By Ronald J. Martin, clearly. He's the most desirous of all malls. Yeah.
How about Why We Love the Mall by KDY and Ted Kluck?
Don't Waste Your Mall.
Oh, solid.
Strong.
Yeah, that's just solid.
Your Best Mall Now.
Yeah.
Girl, Wash Your Mall.
Yes.
Girl, solid. How about Hoping for Mall by Barnabas Piper?
Yeah.
I mean, haven't we all been there?
Or, you know? I'm there, right? I'm literally there right now.
Yeah.
Mall, Stop Apologizing. Yeah, it works really well. In fact, in some ways, I think it might work better than parkour. It's a little bit less niche, but the single syllable just, it plugs in so nicely.
Yeah, it kind of goes everywhere. And the fact that it's a thing that you would desire makes it better too. Like, nobody would desire parkour except like a few weird guys.
Except for a parkourist.
Except for when parkourists don't parkour. That was our great title that never saw the light.
Oh, that's right. What was our
when believers don't believe?
Yeah,
when parkourists don't parkour.
That was it. That was the title that
baby that would have made us millions. You and I would be retired by
we wouldn't. Well, we wouldn't even be here right now because we we'd be at our beach house in Destin for sure.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, baby, what could have been? Yeah, dude, solid mall content though. That was 25 minutes on malls and our sleep habits. So
it's a way to talk about the new year, right? It's
and
a way
being disgruntled at Asian food. I will say the sleep habits and the complaining about restaurants was the most solidly grumpy middle-aged man opening we've ever had on this podcast. So well done,
boys. Oh, dude,
boys.
Totally.
Way to start 2021 strong.
We need to go like 6 minutes on people who back their car into parking spots, and we will have like hit for the old man's cycle.
Don't get me started on that.
Exactly. Exactly. Are you guys seeing, and Pipe, you're a little bit younger than me and Ron, are you seeing old man stuff kind of like creep into your lives where you're,
dude,
you're kind of like, oh man, I'm turning into my dad here and I can't stop it.
So much my dad as like, I think I'm turning into like Walter Matthau, but, my dad's not a very grumpy old man. He's more like an absent-minded professor, detached old man where he just doesn't notice stuff. Whereas I just find myself losing patience with all sorts of things, especially the kids, whatever the kids. People who are legal adults are now children in my mind. I think that's the biggest new one for me. Like I see 23, 24-year-olds and I'm like, ah, kids.
Ooh, I want to run something by you on that level. And baby, you'll I think resonate with this. So after the horrible Chinese food experience last night, KK and I went to a movie and you know, because of COVID, blah, blah, blah. We haven't been to a movie in a long time. Anyway, there was a theater open in Jackson.
Folks, remember, it's 2021. COVID's behind us.
Almost 2 days, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we go to this theater and, you know, it's one of these kind of nice, new, like, everybody gets a recliner kind of theaters. And, of course, there was kind of nobody there because we were seeing a nobody there kind of movie. And
was it a Terrence Malick film?
No, it was the new Tom Hanks Western, which I want you guys to see. So
I didn't know that was out in the, that's actually out in the theaters too.
Yeah, dude, it was solid. It was so good, man. It was actually like to me, like an international adoption movie almost. So we could talk about it on that level at some point. But
I've seen the trailer. It looks amazing.
We go to this theater. Yeah, it was amazing. So Paul Greengrass was the director. He did a bunch of the Bourne movies. He's good. Anyway, we go to this place. There's like four people in the theater, which is great. That's like my wheelhouse. But the audio was so loud from the adjacent theater. They were showing like Wonder Woman 1984, which is like 3.5 hours of like cars exploding and stuff. And the movie that we were seeing was kind of a quiet movie, right? It was really about, you know, Tom Hanks and this kid just kind of dialoguing for a couple hours. And I was getting so like angry at the audio from the other theater. I did a thing that I never do.
Dude, you had a really bad day, man.
I had a tough day, but listen, this is where it turns.
This is like male menopause. Is that what you're going through?
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, right. It was the change. And then it got really hot in the theater, you know. So I go down and I told KK, I was like, I'm going to talk to the manager. And she's like, oh, no way. You never do that. But I'm like, babe, I got to, or else we got to leave. You know, that's how bad it was.
I'm so anti that. That's so hilarious, man.
Dude, so I'm
so proud of you, even though I never talk to managers. I'm glad to see you take this big step in your middle-aged life.
I was curious, just like, lay it on us.
You know, I was like a baby taking his first steps, like a toddler, you know. So I go down, I find this manager, and this is the point, right? It's been all set up for this. The manager's like 12. Okay, he's like a fetus, like a, you know, like a baby himself.
In actuality, he's 25, but he's one of those dudes that looks like he's 9.
Dude, right, he's 9 years old, and I'm like, hey, I was real nice about it. I'm always, you know, trying to be nice, but like, you know, the audio in the adjacent theater, like none of us can hear this Western, and like everybody in our theater was kind of chattering about it. You know, it was like a group project, and I always get like, I always get chosen to go be the voice of the group or whatever. And so he was cool about it. He was great. He was like, oh, yeah. So, and he really did fix it. And then it got better. But the point is, 20 years ago, like manager of a movie theater would have been a job that like a 35 or 40 year old guy would have had, and he would have taken it kind of seriously. You know what I mean? It would have been like, I want to have a good theater. I want to make sure everything's working. But now it's like a job that a 12 year old has, and it's a new 12 year old every 3 months. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like me noticing that kind of thing is an old man thing.
Yeah. Because it was probably that way 20 years ago too, T, but
I was 12. Like, yeah.
Right. So you didn't care. And you didn't care that there was sound bleeding over 20.
Dude, right. I wouldn't have cared. Like, I was trying to put myself in the shoes of, what if I was 18 and I was on a date at a movie?
Well, again, you would have been in the loud movie anyway.
We would have been in the loud movie, right? We wouldn't have been in the dialogue-driven Tom Hanks middle-aged person movie. No, you're right. You're totally right.
So what age were you guys, or about what stage in life, when you realized like you were the adult in the room? Because I think 2020 brought about the craziest realization for me, because, you know, got ordained and voted in as a pastor at the church. And all of a sudden I looked around and I'm like, hey, I'm way older than the average age of the attendees at this church. You know, I'm 37. I would bet the average attendee is early 30s. So if you just average out the whole congregation, so I'm 5-7 years older than everybody else there by average. And now I have this sort of position and title that people look to with you know, some level of respect. And I was like, oh, I'm the guy who they're treating as an adult. When I look around the room, I'd always sort of seen myself as a peer or as on the younger end, and I'm not on the younger end anymore. Was that like a realization for you guys, or did you just sort of slowly mature into adulthood?
So that's so funny you say that. So it didn't happen to me. It was not that long ago. I would say, and T, maybe this is your experience, I have no idea, but I was probably in my early 40s, and this thing kept happening where I would be, you know, we'd like meet a new couple, or I would meet somebody, or there'd be like a friend or somebody new would come into the church. And I just kept thinking that they looked my age. And so I just assumed, like, oh, dude, he's 42 or whatever. He's 43. They're 40. You know, well, how old do you think that couple is? Oh, I don't know. Early 40s, 40. I'm close to our age. You know, and then this kept happening, right? Somebody would look at me and go, they're 28, Ronnie. I'm like, you know, it'd be like, it was so depressing after a while that literally it just started tweaking me, because I'm looking at these people and I'm like, why do you keep identifying with them? And you got like literally 12 years on them.
Or you'd have a theory from growing up in the Midwest, though. I think Ohio 28 or Indiana 28 is like 40.
There's something about that, because I'm looking in the mirror. I'm looking at these dudes and I'm like going, I don't feel like, I don't want to be like the guy that's out to lunch on this, right? Like if I'm older, I'm older, right? There's no getting around that, but I also don't want to be the guy, you know, I don't want to be the old like movie actor living in the past, still thinking, you know, they got the on-screen thing going on and they're actually like, you know, 81 years old. And so like, so I'm looking
like
at these
Tom
people
Cruise.
Going, exactly. Yeah. So I'm asking Big M, I'm like, help me here. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be up to speed. And yet we're looking at these people and I'm going, but dude, I'm not seeing it, man. And then it got really crazy. And this is the new one. Okay. You ready for this? The new one is this, like, oh yeah, I think they're 10 years older than they are. I know they're not my age, but I'm still thinking they're 10 years older than they are. And it turns out, oh man, I'm way old enough to be their dad. So I'm old enough to be their dad scenario going.
Oh, totally.
Which is super depresso.
You know? It is. Yeah, I think for me it was, and this is going to sound real self-pitying too, so apologies in advance. Like the whole motif of, I'm still very much taking care of kids, but now I'm kind of like I'm starting to like problem solve some stuff for my parents too. And I'm like kind of between the two, there is no me anymore. Like whatever I used to be is gone. And I'm just like, I'm a middle-aged guy. This is middle-aged guy.
Existentialism and
existential. Yeah. Like, whatever the energy, whatever the vibe was that used to be me and used to be vital, it's gone. and I think that makes me feel old as much as anything.
Yeah. 'Cause you're doing stuff that you probably never thought much that you were going to be doing. You just find yourself doing it. You just find, nobody ever thinks, oh, I'm going to be thinking about stuff that my parents don't think about for themselves anymore. Like, nobody thinks, oh, yay, someday I'm going to be doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, someday I'm going to be, like, evaluating different doctors for my parents. Nobody, like, dreams about that. You dream about, like, I don't know, having a sweet apartment or, like, a cool car or whatever when you think about adulthood as a kid. But it's never like, yeah, I'll help some people sift through some paperwork. That'll be a really fulfilling day.
Yeah, you know? I'll be a financial planner for my elderly parent. It's going to be sweet. That'll, it sounds like a sweet day out on the town.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be super cool.
I don't understand why it's so hard to gauge our own stage in life and age by other people. So, like, I realized my parents were getting older several years before I realized that I age at the same rate they do. You know, so like, I remember going hiking with my dad when it was probably 5 years ago or so. So he was 70 and just realizing he had slowed down a little bit. Well, he's 70. So, you know, and he's always been like front of the pack, spry. Like he was the guy who didn't slow down for anybody on, you know, in any sport or hike or whatever. And I realized, oh, like I'm now ahead of him, but it didn't dawn on me that meant that I was also getting older. And so watching my parents age had no correlation to the fact that I too am on the front end of middle age now, which is a little bit crazy. And I never put two and two together. And so it wasn't until I realized people look at me as old that it started to settle in like, oh, I'm the older guy in some contexts.
Well, Pipe, let me ask you this, because T didn't really have this experience, but like, so I have an older brother and sister that are around 10 years older than me. So there's a massive gap between them and when my parents had me. Yeah. And so to see them kind of turn these ages, which to me are almost parent-like in how much older they are than me. And to see them turn these ages and just think, oh, dude, I mean, I can't believe my brother just turned 32, thinking he's just has one foot in the grave. Like getting to that age and then remembering thinking that about him and going, oh, my God. You know, because you look at people that are older than you, and no matter how young they were, if you look at pictures, they always look older. Mm-hmm. They just eternally look older.
So yeah, like high school graduates in like the 50s were 74 years old.
They still look older.
They were the CEOs of companies, all of them. Yeah.
They were the managers of movie theaters, you know.
Yes, dude.
I don't know how much older your brothers are than you, but have you ever experienced that? Like just seeing them get to where you're going before you?
Oh, yeah. My oldest brother is about 11 and a half years older than me. And then there's about 3 years between the four of us brothers. And so, yeah, like he turned 50. And no, when he turned 45, I don't think he's 50 yet. And I was just like, this 45 is old, you know, and 45 is solidly middle aged, except he's my brother. So he's of my generation. He's my peer. And yeah, it was a very strange thing. And, so one of my brothers turned 40, a couple years ago. And that was weird too, because he's the one I like shared a room with growing up, you know, and all of a sudden it's his 40th birthday. And I'm like, no, that's we used to, you know, like break furniture wrestling, and then he'd beat me at whatever sport we were playing. And so, yeah, I haven't totally made the mental transition to realizing they are old men, which means I'm quickly becoming one of the same.
Yeah. And it's surreal. I know, because you see them and what you're seeing is, you're seeing like a future you, and it's just, it's weird if you have brothers or sisters, because you literally, because they kind of look like you too. So you really are seeing like a version of you down the road. It's like, it's super, super encouraging.
Pressing. Is that the word you're looking for?
It's just super awesome. It's super awesome to see that.
Or is it only depressing if they look a certain way?
You know? Yeah, that's a good point. That's a whole other combo.
I like to think I'm better looking than all of my siblings, so hopefully I
will. Yeah, we all like
better.
To think that.
Yeah.
We all love to think that.
Well, boys, this has been enlightening, actually. I think we had some stuff we needed to talk about related to our age and malls, movie theaters.
You had to make some confessions there, Big T.
I know, dude.
And you had a bad day.
I had to unburden myself with some things. Yeah. you know.
Yeah, between really between did. Bad between gray Kung Pao chicken and a loud movie, that's just a nightmare for a middle-aged man.
Dude, it really is. You know what I mean about the gray, though?
Yes.
Like, you get a plate of food,
and it's
all gray.
I do know what you mean. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know how we have gray food in the world.
How does it get that palette?
It's like we don't have blue food either. There's like certain colors food that we don't have. Blue and gray would be those two.
That's it, dude. Yeah, I don't want my food looking either of those colors.
Blue or gray.
Blue or gray. That's it. If it comes out looking blue or gray, I'm not going to send it back because I don't have that much courage. But
I'll just... But you might now that you have the little one-on-one with the movie.
The nine-year-old manager of the movie theater.
Yeah, I mean, that may have like triggered some courage in you, man.
What a great interaction! It took me until I was 44 to be courageous enough to like ask a 9-year-old to adjust the audio level.
I mean, better late than never, baby.
Better late than never. Hey, some of us come into these things a little bit later.
Absolutely,
it's okay. Yeah.
It's just, it's good to keep progressing as you age, Ted. It's, you never want to give up all the way. So it's good to grow into those things.
It's proof that my 2021 is going to be sweet. I'm going to crush
it. It's going to be the year of aggression.
That's right, dude. The year of saying all the things that I've kept.
The year of becoming
Karen. I love, we should talk about that sometime. Like just this idea of anything that's good has to be aggressive. That's why we use words like killing it and crushing it.
Crushing it. Dude, we should do that's fascinating. We should do a whole ep on that. Totally.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do the book title thing with crushing it. I feel like,
Yeah.
It's like nobody ever says like, dude, I am going to stroke that gently.
Do you know why? Yeah. Because nobody wants to go to jail. That's why, Ronnie.
I mean,
I'm really gonna caress 2021.
It can be a blanket.
Yeah,
it can be a blanket pipe.
How do you feel about restraining orders, Ronald?
I'm going to envelop 2021 in my warm embrace. Nobody says that.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I know. It's weird, right? We're going to crush
it. Envelop that. Right. Everything is crush. And
we're going to kill it, dude. Literally,
dude,
kill it.
You destroyed. It's like when people say that about sermons too, Ronnie. You destroyed. I'm like,
Ronnie, you crushed that sermon.
Like, did I?
It is ironic that if you use a term of like gentleness and affection, you sound like you should go to prison. And if you use a term of violence, people would like to pat you on the back.
Exactly. They want to be like you. They want you to write a book so they can be like you. So if you're crushing it, it's like, let me be like this violent guy that could get sent to jail because he's leaving a trail of dead bodies behind him.
Nobody's like, Ronnie, you really took the back of your hand and like gently like caressed that sermon. You know what I mean? You took the back of your hand and gently brushed back like some hair that was falling into the eyes of that sermon.
That's how great that sermon was.
That's how good it was. That's
that sermon was so great. It was like you blowing a feather through the air as it gently landed on the ground. Like, dude, that's how great that sermon. I mean, you would look at that person like they lost.
Like they were crazy. But you look at the guy who was like, Ronnie, you killed that sermon.
You pounded that sermon into the floor, man.
It was like you took a knife and you ran that sermon through like it's midsection.
Cut that thing, man. Yeah. That thing's dude, that sermon is bleeding, brother.
Yeah.
Dude.
People are so weird, man. Boys,
it is interesting how far you have to go before it starts to get weird on the violent front. Like once you got to blood, I was like, nah, it's probably a step too far. But anything prior to that was great. Good job, guys.
Right. Right. I know. It's strange, man. The laws of these things. It's not entirely
Dude, that true. Has to be a chapter. That has to
it
be
has to.
All right, hold on.
Things that we're killing and crushing.
Yeah, that has to be it right there.
It does.
I mean, that goes along with the deep V and the working out pastor and just killing it. Dude, his sermon destroyed the sermon.
I'm writing it into the notes right now if you hear typing.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Appreciate
that.
Yeah,
you take some
work.
Passage that's like the gentlest passage in scripture, like, like Boaz carrying
most of the
Ruth
passages
or whatever.
Describing Jesus.
Yeah, Ronnie, you crushed that. Yeah. Bro.
Right.
All right, boys. Well, we've done what we always do on this program.
Nice transition, babe.
Which is, we've done what we always
do. We slayed this episode, y'all.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, we've done what we always do, which is kill it, crush it.
Let that be your sign off right now, T. I want to hear that as a sign off.
We will kill you next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercool, your host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.